Welcome to Omega Disciple Makers. It's a course that I've put together over the years for practical disciple making in the marketplace and training people to be like Jesus, to do the same things that he did. And I'm looking currently at level one, which is foundation basics, chapter three, which includes seven basics. In Hebrews 5 and 6, the writer states that many should be teachers, but they still argue about baptism and laying of the hands and judgment, salvation, and so they remain spiritual babies. And so what I've done is put together a course which looks at the teachings of Jesus to make absolutely certain what these are about. So this current module is salvation, number one out of seven, and it's about... What does Jesus have to say about it? What does the Bible have to say about it? Paul himself mentions that many people remain spiritual babies because of repentance, faith, baptism, laying of the hands, etc. Every believer should be fully aware of, no matter, so that no arguments or divisions can occur through ignorance. People argue about these things, and in fact, people get pastors get thrown out of church and all sorts of weird things because they argue about these basics. In a sense, they really don't know what the Bible is saying. They argue about it and because it's their perception, their viewpoint. I've added two other topics to Paul, which is about, it's also salvation and being born again. And we'll go through these in depth using scripture to lay a solid foundation. So let's start at the beginning, salvation. What it means and is it necessary? Well, let's look at the definition of salvation in the Greek dictionary concordance. It's called Strong's. It says here the definition is the act of being preserved from harm, rescued, made whole, and deliverance. Others say healing. So salvation is being preserved from harm, rescued, made whole, deliverance. In the book of John, chapter 3:16, he states that Jesus said that we were all perishing because those that believed in Jesus and his message of God's love would not perish but receive eternal life starting here on earth. So that's very important that, Jesus said that. And the thing is this, we may have believed in Jesus, but what do we believe about Jesus? We need to understand and obey his commands. Jesus said, in Matthew 28, go and make disciples and teach them to obey my commands. Very important. So when we die, our spirits will go to one of two places, and that's assuming you know that we have a spirit in a body made of flesh and bones and muscles, but the spirit is the part of us that is life, and life can never be destroyed. It just gets transformed into a spirit being. So there are two kingdoms according to Jesus, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And I suppose the question would be, which kingdom do we belong to? When we were first conceived, God's Spirit gave us life. When we were created as a child to be in his kingdom, as we grew up, we all went our own way and our spirits became corrupted. We chose to do the works of the kingdom of darkness in ignorance, with the result that God's wrath was upon us. And we were destined to go to hell in eternal damnation. This is because of the original sins of Adam and Eve, who were disobedient. I used to think I was a very good person, but I realized that when I look back in my life, even as a young child, my friend, his mother had a little cafe, corner cafe, many years ago, and we were about seven or eight, and when she went to the back of the shop, we used to go to the front and fill our pockets with sweets and then run out of the shop, so in effect we were stealing it, you know, although it was his mother's business. And we knew that it was wrong. We actually knew it was wrong. And so basically, we are all born with a conscience. But as we get older, and so we get used to disobeying the voice of conscience or just ignoring it, slowly but surely we end up doing all wrong things. We slander people, we judge people, we condemn them. And so there's no real love in us, not the love, kind of love that God wants us to have. But, you know, when the salvation, Paul says in Ephesians 1:13, we were included in Christ when we heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. And having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So the question then might be, is how is one saved? I mean, salvation is all very good, but how is one saved? you know, people think it's, well, if I get baptized, I'm saved and all that. Well, let's see what the Bible's got to say. So the question is, how is one saved? Well, it starts off like this. Paul in Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay, so you confess with your mouth. So with your mouth, you're professing what you believe in. And in your heart, you really believe that God raised Jesus from the dead when he was crucified. And that's very important. It's a little bit more detailed than that, but it's a mystery, because what actually happens is something takes place. When we say those words and we speak them over our life, something takes place in our heart, or should. We are saved by grace and by faith. And in Ephesians 2:8, he says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith and not works. This is the gift of God. And not because of works, in case anyone should boast. And then verse 10, Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. What he's saying here is that our good works are really like filthy rags before God. You know, we'll do good works in order to be seen or to be praised by men. And that's just one issue. There's no real, we might have kind of empathy, but there's no godly compassion. There might be, but the point is this, that we are saved for good works. And these good works are ones that God, once his Spirit is in us, will direct us, and he will guide us into what works we should be doing. And we'll look at that later. The next question might be, once we are saved, are we always saved? I mean, that's a very good question. There's a lot of controversy about that too. And the big thing is, controversy is always a lack of knowledge. And basically, it's ignorance. You know, and what we need to do is reduce our ignorance and read more of the Word and less opinionated. So let's just have a look. What did Jesus say? Only those who hold on to the end will be saved. You'll find that when Paul talks to Timothy in the book of Timothy, many people, their faith has been shipwrecked. And what Paul is saying there, they've left the faith, they've lost the way, and their faith is shipwrecked. And he left them over to Satan. Many people left the faith. So in a sense, there we can see quite clearly, according to Paul, a lot of people went their own way and turned their back on God. You know, and once you turn your back on God, it's almost impossible to come back to God again. That's the whole issue. So salvation is something that we need to really nourish and cherish and look after it. And so, you know, Paul says this, therefore, my beloveds, as you always obeyed, not in my presence, but only in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So there's a working out of the salvation. And what that means is we need to be mindful of the teachings of Jesus, whatever he says. You know, like he says in Matthew 7, do not judge other people or you will be judged. So that's very important. You know, so if we judge others, let's say you see a drunkard on the street or a prostitute, and you might spit on him and say he's just rubbish. No. He's a soul. He's a spirit. He's made in God's image, and he's just a lost person. And when you look at him through the eyes of love, you see him as a lost and lonely person. You don't see him the outer condition. You see the inner condition. It's like looking at a prostitute. She might be doing that purely because she's trying to provide for her child, or maybe she's been forced into through drug mafia and so on. So there's many reasons that these people end up there. Working in the Ark, where we had over 1,000 homeless at any one time, I met many, many people that had fallen on hard times for various reasons, death and sickness and people stealing and robbing and so on. So, you know, you have compassion on these people. Peter also says here, he says, so Paul says, work out your salvation. And Peter says it's an ongoing work. He tells us that you are receiving the goal of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. So faith, really, your salvation and your faith in God has got a benefit, and there's a journey, a working out of your salvation of your souls. And we just say here, is it possible to lose our salvation? Well, what did Jesus say? Jesus clearly said, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. In the parable of the seed sower, that's in Matthew 13, he tells us there are four different types, kinds of seeds that were sown. One was sown on the rocks and the birds came away. One was sown in shallow soil And the sun came up and shriveled it. The one was sown in the weeds, and the thorns pricked the fruit, and that was it. And finally, there was a fourth one where he produced a fruit. He produced... This is because of the fact that the attractions of the world and people just returned back to once where they were. Peter even talks about a pig returning to his sty when we fall away. So there is a definite, clear example and of quite a few scriptures in the book, in the Bible, which tell us we can lose our salvation. So, and Paul says we must work it out. So, you know, and we must remind ourselves that salvation is not only just for here and now to feel good and be a good person. It's actually about also our eternal inheritance one day entering heaven. You know, Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3 that you're not going to see heaven, or you will neither enter it unless your spirit is made new, it's cleansed. So if we turn back and go back to the world and the old ways, we will, when we're on a holy path, we become more unholy when we become like the world. And so that will preclude us from getting into heaven. The next question is there any other way to be saved? Salvation is found in no one else, no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but through me. It doesn't matter how you understand that statement. I sometimes think that it doesn't matter if you're a Muslim or Jew or Greek. You know, Jesus will be, he's the gate, the door to heaven. Okay, so nobody comes to heaven but through Jesus. There are situations where people, Jesus said, the good will continue to good and they will go to heaven because they're good. In Matthew 25, it's rather interesting, where Jesus said that between the sheep and the goats are the ones that are not going to go to heaven and the sheep are the ones that are going to go. But he's the qualities that he requires in the sheep, he just says this. He said, you know, when I was thirsty, you gave me water. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I had no clothes, you gave me clothes. When I was in prison, you visited me in the hospital. He doesn't mention anything else. So, you know, there are good works, but those are good works that are guided by the Holy Spirit. And if we are good people, if you think you're a good person, so why must we be saved? But Jesus says this, if anyone says that they have not sinned, they are liars and they are none of God, because we live in a sinful world that can contaminate us. James said, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. Now, one is assuming the implanted word is what you read in the Bible and also the words that you've received. And this is able to save your soul. So in other words, if you come to temptation in any situation, maybe there's some flirtation going on, and temptation to do adultery or to steal or whatever, the Holy Spirit will guide us in all truth. Are there any other requirements? Well, of course, it's going to be born again. And born again just means that your spirit is new. We'll look at that in one of the next chapters. So conclusion then, salvation means to be rescued, delivered, set free, healed, forgiven, cleansed, and restored in right standing with God. So we in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, Paul says we are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And people should know, if you've been saved, if you've had a salvation experience, you will know, and people will see the difference in you. So, and we are able to be called children of God with an eternal inheritance of life everlasting. So through that, we are given the right, we're given the right to become children, called children of God. So when you first believed, you received the Holy Spirit of God. This is something one needs to know. Have I got the Holy Spirit? The salvation experience, Paul tells us in Ephesians 1, 12 and 13, it says that when you first believed, you received the Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. Now, a deposit means that you haven't paid, you're only paying a deposit on something, but you haven't paid the full price for the article that you made a deposit on. So there's still, you still actually have to, in a sense, I use the word pay off the rest, the balance. And that paying off is actually working at your salvation, working and doing the things that God called us to do, you know. So new life has started. And so it's like a seed being planted in our spirits, which now must grow, and we feed it with the word of God, and we water it with prayer and spiritual things. This is the start of our spirits being cleansed, but this is not necessarily what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the fullness. It's a conversion experience, which is when you start off. It's like a baby, you've come in the world, and you convert it, and you see the world is different. But you still need the fullness at some time later, so that God can use you for his kingdom. So therefore, it's on a journey of discovery of who we really are and who we should be. This is like a journey to a new destination, where all our old habits and corrupted sinful natures are exposed by the Holy Spirit within us, much like a voice of conscience to guide us on the beginning of our journey, or like a new plant that has sprouted and starts to push out new leaves and flowers. And I pray that this might help any confusion or doubt on the topic of salvation. And it's very important to know, because once again Paul reminds us that everybody argues about these things, but what does the Bible say? What does Jesus say? That's more important. It's not what I say or what you say or anybody says. It's what did Jesus say? And I thank you for watching, and God bless. Arthur Dilley signing off.